Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips and BC. It is Saturday, the 21st of November, Anno Domini 2015. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. But before we do the news, we should talk about the fact that we're on... not just live on the air, but we are also live streaming at jazz901.org. We are on YouTube at Soundbites Radio. There may be some underscores in there somewhere. I don't think there are. And
the link is on our front page.
And it's on our front page, yeah. So it doesn't matter. And I'm trying to get a blab up, but every time I get it up... it says start blab, and I click start blab, and it goes right back to the front page again. So I'm not at all sure what's happening there, but I'm sure whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. So
we're so professional.
I don't even care. Oh, you have no idea. This is one of those mornings when every single thing made me just a couple of minutes late. So even getting here, I didn't have time to really set up the blab before we started.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those days.
Oh, you know, I hate it. You know, it throws your whole schedule off because it seems like you're running around the house and you get out the door and you forget something. And it's like, you know what? I'm too late to go back to get it. And the rest of the day just is a
constant
rush.
I woke up just a little late and the dog just gave me Cirrus getting out and getting back in and this and that. And any one of them would have been okay, no big deal. But when you pile them all up on top of each other like that, you're suddenly running in the door. Mm-hmm. Just ahead of Steve Ray, and that's late. I mean...
yeah, it is. Back in the day, remember? A certain individual would be doing the news.
Yeah.
And we're 2 to 3 minutes into it. Steve comes strolling on in.
Yep.
Because he'd hear him talking on the radio, so he knew he was on time. And come up, sit down, and boom. Never missed a beat.
That's yeah. Because I have to work in the Saturday morning to open the store and...
It's
a longer drive now from Victor than it was before.
yeah, it is, yeah. So I've set this whole blab thing up. I click start blab.
And it doesn't start.
And absolutely nothing happens.
It's speechless.
Nothing, and I click start blab again. Okay, it looks like we're not starting a blab. That's apparently not going to happen. So let's just read the news. Oh, I'm sorry. Frankly, it was always possible to ask Google anything, but for slightly more complicated questions, the answers were a bit lacking. Now, Google has updated its mobile app to better understand complex queries. In a blog post Monday, Google product manager... Satyajit Salgar explains that some of the improvements that help the app make sense of your weird human thought processes. First, Google better understands superlatives and ordered items. For example, queries such as, what are the largest cities in Texas? Also, you can ask it about a particular point in time. So you can ask that same query about the largest cities in Texas, but in 1953, for example. Perhaps most importantly, Google is better at understanding complex combinations of these queries, such as who was the U.S. president when the Angels won the World Series?
When did the Angels win the World Series?
Yeah, right. Google readily explains that the system is not perfect yet, even giving an example of a query that did not yield a correct answer. Who was Dakota Johnson's mom in the movie? That query will net you the name of the real-life person, not the actress. However, the company claims these changes are a foundation that will make a search algorithm that's even smarter in the future. And then I had one that worked, and then I forgot it. I didn't write it down, and when I went back to get it. It didn't work, but you heard the other ones. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Ask Google Now Mobile almost anything. And I read that badly. Ask Google Now Mobile almost anything. So far, this really only works in the mobile app. You can't, it doesn't actually work well on the web app yet. And the choices are, wow, that is so cool. Pretty amazing algorithms. Meh. And Siri, Cortana, we have to talk. Or actually, not. And for those of you who have more to say, and I know you will, you can slide down the, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, and you'll find fascinating stuff. And a first choice under that is the forums. And the second forum on the list is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the first item in the poll discussion is 1 November 15. Ask Google Now. Oh, I did it again. Ask Google Now Mobile almost anything.
And how many people's phones just went off doing something?
No, that would have to be the word okay followed by the word Google. Which I did the other day. I went to take a little nap, and I said to my phone, okay, followed by the word Google, set an alarm for 15 minutes.
Yep.
At which case, both my phone and my tablet on which I was reading
said okay.
Set the same alarm for 15 minutes.
I love that feature.
So it's like a built-in snooze.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Probably only a few seconds apart.
Yeah.
They're never synchronized. Even though they all sync to the internet.
Yeah, this is awful close. Anyway, give us a call. Let's talk about all this stuff. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, no, that's one feature I definitely do like is, you know, if you got something going. And I do have the old-fashioned egg timer.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's Lori had it, and it was a timer. You could sit there and set up to an hour.
A mechanical timer.
A mechanical timer, yeah. And, it would work, but you'd have to be in the area to use it. Well, now to be able to say, okay, Google, set timer for 20 minutes.
Right.
It's a setting timer for 20 minutes. And wait, you can put your phone back in your pocket, you're good to go.
Yep.
And it goes off.
Yep. Yeah, I've even taken to using it every once in a while. There's a crossword puzzle answer I just don't understand.
Now, is that considered cheating?
That's a good question. Considering I'm sitting alone in my home, there's no way. I cheat out. I never cheated anything, but I cheat outrageously at crosswords because I time myself. But if I look at the clock and it says 12:13, I'll write down 12:14.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... It's like
because it's 13 in some seconds. It's closer to 14.
It's closer to 14. This is what I feel than to 13, and so I can do that without really bothering my conscience.
Is that like having a dictionary while you're playing Scrabble? Is that considered cheating?
Oh, that's a very good question. The whole idea is to actually know these words, and mostly I do. What I don't know are the things like, you know, who was the pitcher who lost the 1937 World Series? That's Google's going to tell me that because I don't know that.
Lori used to do them in ink.
I used to do them in ink, too.
And it's like, well, her mother used to always do them. What used to drive her nuts with me?
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, doing weird things as far as that. My checkbook. All right, you got to write out a check.
Yeah, I know how you keep your checkbook. Lori hated you.
Oh, yes.
Hated that.
That's why
she
took it over and to explain to the folks. If I was doing a check, say, for $13.87 or 57 cents, it went in as 14. I like round numbers.
And I cannot lie.
And, you know, it was like, so how do you ever balance? I go, at the end of the year, I'd have some money left over. Party for me.
Rounding, as long as you round mathematically, as long as you round up and down about the same amount of time, it evens itself out.
Or if you always round up, you'll always have a few pennies left.
Yeah. That's the way I always say it. Right. Always round it up.
Yep.
See, that's there have been calls to eliminate the penny as being unnecessary expense, but then everyone's afraid, and they're right, everything will get rounded up to the nearest nickel. But we're slowly evolving away from a cash society, And it plays on your credit cards and debit cards and your Apple Pay and your Google Wallet. And so it almost doesn't matter. What was that? Oh, the pay at the pump. Remember how you'd always want to stop the pump at exactly, you know, $25?
Oh, yeah.
And if it went over a penny, you were mad.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Okay, the lab is running. Look at you. That's pretty cool, except it didn't ask me about camera or anything. I'll figure that out shortly. In the meantime, why don't we go to the phones and talk to Ray from Irondequoit. Hiya, Ray, what's up?
Hi. A couple shows ago, I think, Nick, you talked about using Quicken Online.
I mentioned it, yeah.
I'm trying to figure how to do that. I usually use it on my computer, but then I found there's like some Quicken app that you can use, like say on an iPad or an iPhone,
right?
And you got to sign up, which I do, but for some reason, I try to do it on the iPad. It doesn't recognize the same login ID I have through my computer. And I'm not sure if there's a way of syncing these up that says, you know, I can use any kind of device and still go through my Quicken stuff I have to do.
There are two different Quicken apps. There's one that is a companion to the Quicken desktop app. And using your Intuit ID, it will synchronize through Intuit's servers. And then there's a separate app that manages money independently of apps on your computer. And so it kind of determines matters as to which app you got. And you are using the same Intuit ID when you log in to the iPad version and the desktop version?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. My PC version. You do everything on the PC, but then they had me sign up for, you know, to do everything online and, you know, through the PC. Now, for whatever reason, when I go through the iPad, it doesn't like that. Says it can't find it and wants me to use another one. But then it tells me I got to go back to the computer and somehow do something about mobile synchronize or something, which I've done, but it doesn't recognize the same login ID, Intuit ID that I have.
It sounds like you've got two different services running. There's the online only Quicken service that runs on the website, and then there's this synchronizing service that goes between the desktop app and the mobile app. And theoretically, you should be able to use the same Intuit ID on both of those services. What version of the desktop app do you have?
I want to say it's 2013.
And you may need to use the 16 version, the current version.
Oh, okay.
I just found, downloaded the Apple iPad version of the Quicken app. I'm trying to do it myself. And I was using an old version of Quicken for the desktop, and so I couldn't do it. And that's sort of the other half of it. People that don't like to upgrade every new version that comes out. Especially Quicken. They raised the price for the 2015 internet-only version. It's not available in a box, and they raised the price $25.
So it's because they're saving money on the box.
Yeah.
So they pass that on to you.
Right. So on the iPad version, it says it needs Quicken 2014, 15, or 16.
Okay. So I probably have to upgrade my computer version then.
Right. Sounds like it.
Okay.
And there's two of them on the iPad. There's the Quicken 2014, 15, 16 money management program, and that is the companion app to your Quicken version. And then there's a separate program called Quicken 2013 money management, and that's for Quicken 2013 for Windows only. And so make sure you downloaded the right one for your 2013, or you can upgrade to the 2016 version and use the other one.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give that a try. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
And then to be even more confusing, a few years ago, Intuit bought Mint.
Oh, yeah.
And Mint will look into your bank accounts and your credit cards and give you all your balances. So it's kind of like an overview program that doesn't tie into a single bank. So if you have multiple credit cards from multiple banks, it's a nice way to manage everything in one place.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we have Gary from Greece, New York on the line. Hiya, Gary. What's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm in the market for a new desktop computer.
Yeah.
And I was at one of the local stores the other day, and I saw these all-in-one computers where the hard drive is actually in the monitor. So yeah. All you have is the monitor, the keyboard, and a mouse. I'm just wondering, though, what is your opinion of those? And are they worth getting, or should you go to more the traditional desktop?
Well, here's the pros and cons. First, it depends on who makes it, right? Because no two are really...
And sometimes no two of the same, like Dell, aren't the same either.
Yeah, I can tell you this. It was a Hewlett-Packard with an Intel processor.
One thing, though, you got to make sure that it's got its own graphics card. It's shared memory.
The cheaper models will share your main memory for video. So if you're not playing games or not doing anything video intensive, you can get away with a cheaper one.
Yep.
And that's true of a desktop or an all-in-one.
Or a laptop,
yeah. The biggest issue people have with the modular computers is that if one piece breaks, you got to throw the whole computer away and buy a new one. So with the modular computers, your monitor goes, you put a bigger monitor on. Your computer goes, you get another computer. You can still replace all the internal components because it's just a regular PC.
But anything though built into the motherboard, it goes. Yeah. You're hosed.
So there's no well that's the way it is on most laptops and even desktops these days. Everything is built into the motherboard. You don't need and don't use any slots anymore because that makes it cheaper. To put everything. It also makes repairs faster. Apple has done this for a long time with their iMac all-in-one. Repairs are faster because if anything breaks, just replace the whole board.
Okay.
But it does mean repairs are more expensive.
And just to give you an idea, what I was looking at on sale, it was about $780. I had a 22-inch monitor. It seemed like it looked good. I don't game. Mostly what I use my computers for is, you know, my banking, my personal things. Surfing, doing some purchasing. I do have a Chromebook and a netbook when I need to travel. So I do like the idea of the bigger monitor and the keyboard. So is that price range, would you say that is cheap, moderate, or expensive for what I'm looking at?
Well, it's moderate to high moderate.
Yeah.
It's HP. They're very proud of what they make and therefore charge a little more for it. The big thing is you're going to get You can replace the hard drives, as Steve and Dave both said. You can replace many of the components inside. So that's not an issue. The big issue is that it's not internally expandable. If you wanted to add an extra hard drive, that sort of thing, you can't do it. But for the average user, I know any number of people who have all-in-ones, and they are completely thrilled with them.
Okay, that's very helpful. And at the beginning of the comments, you said to check what kind of graphics card it has?
Yes.
Yeah, there are two types. There's a shared, it's not the card, it's the memory. Yeah.
Okay.
Shared graphics memory.
Or sometimes called integrated.
Called integrated, right.
Or on board.
Versus dedicated.
Dedicated.
Yeah, dedicated video memory. They keep coming up with new words.
New terminology to say the same darn thing.
The minute we educate people as to... One of the old weasel words.
They'll change it for a new buzzword.
So it's price versus speed. Dedicated or discrete video memory will be faster. Embedded onboard video will be cheaper. So in the Intel's chips, they have the Iris graphics. That's the new one now. Oh. The Intel CPUs have an Iris graphics card built into the CPU. And then it uses shared memory. So it takes some of your 4 gigs of RAM and uses it for video.
Slowing the machine down.
It slows the machine down a little bit, but it makes it cheaper because it's built into the CPU.
I believe that the salesperson told me this one, there was a better unit because it had eight and as opposed to four.
Well, 8 gigs of RAM. Yeah, you probably don't want to go less than eight anymore.
No.
RAM is relatively expensive.
That's one thing with Windows. The more memory you give it, the better it likes it. If you give it 4, 8, 16, you know, it'll use it.
Okay.
Not like the old days. The more memory you give it, it's like going into the more dance floor space, the more people you can get on the dance floor is the best way to equate it.
Yep.
So,
okay, that's been very helpful. So it's not necessarily something I need to stay away from.
No,
but
encourage
I have to be careful
more.
Just what is involved with it. It's, again, thanks for your advice. Thank you.
No problem.
The other thing is about the memory. It is often true that you can replace the memory in those things. But that means if you ever decided to go up from 4 to 8, you'd have to throw away the 4.
Okay.
Right. So get 8 today. Right. And then you never have to worry about throwing something
away. Yeah. Because it doesn't have, because of space being an issue, the expansion slots, say for memory, are like a laptop. Laptops usually have 2, maybe 4 on some.
Very rare.
Yeah. Very rare. Yeah. Most of them are 2. Same is going to be the true on this all in one. They're only going to have so many slots that you can put memory. And like Nick was saying, so if you've got 2 4s in there and you want to go on up to, say, 16 or 32, you've got to throw those other 2 4s out.
And we've even been seeing some of the lower-end computers, and in fact, most of Apple's computers now, the RAM is soldered, so you cannot upgrade it later. Only on Apple's 27-inch iMac can you upgrade the RAM later, because that's more of a pro thing. And because what we found over the years is that most people don't upgrade their stuff. You know, they buy what they have, and then, you know, in 5 years, they replace the whole computer. That's sort of the whole thing with the towers. You can put 6 hard drives in a tower. You can put 5 monitors on a tower. No one ever does. So the tower concept has sort of died away, and that gave rise to the all-in-ones. And even now, you buy a tower. I had one in the shop last week, and, you know, regular HP tower. Mm-hmm. When we opened the side, it was a laptop motherboard.
Yeah.
And it took up, you know, like eight inches square inside the giant tower. Yeah. And it used a laptop power cord. So we couldn't plug our standard desktop power cord into it, because that's cheaper to make. Yep. But people are used to that big tower.
I was attracted to this because my tower sits right on the top of my desk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just the nice idea. And the particular model I'm looking at has a wireless mouse and keyboard, so it makes it very convenient.
That's very common now.
Well, it is very convenient, but my suggestion is you invest in a couple of sets of good rechargeable batteries.
Yep.
For the keyboard and the mouse.
Yeah. Yep. Because you'll go through them.
Okay.
And disposable batteries are convenient, but, you know, we don't like the waste.
Right. What I suggest people do is they get 2 sets, keep one in the charger and one in the devices, and then when you swap them all at once. Put those in the charger and put in the other ones.
Apple for an interesting point, they have a battery charger and 6 batteries for $30. Reasonably priced.
Yeah,
for
that
Apple.
Is. Yeah.
And so that's 2 batteries in the keyboard.
It's
ridiculous. Yeah. 2 batteries in the keyboard.
How they screw that up?
Yeah. So it's 2 batteries in the keyboard, 2 batteries in the mouse, and 2 batteries charging.
Well, one last thing, I do want to let you know. I listen. I'm not. I'm probably your average user, but I do listen to you guys every week, and I learn a lot. In fact, I bought my wife the Chromebook last year based on a lot of what you had to say about them. We're very pleased with that.
Good.
So, again, I just wanted to let you know that I listen every week and learn a lot. So thank you very much.
No, thank you. We love to hear that, Gary. Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's more and more people come up to me and say, you were talking about Chromebooks. I bought one. I love it. And these all-in-ones, if you're that average user like Gary is, you're not going to play games, you're not going to be throwing in a second, third hard drive, that sort of fare, the all-in-one is fine. It's an excellent concept these days, as long as you get 8 gig of RAM and a decent size, maybe 1 terabyte these days, hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always add external storage. You can always, you know, whatever else you got to do. If you don't have convenient access to an Ethernet cable, make sure it includes wireless. But if you can get to a wired connector, then don't bother.
Well, even off your Chromebook, though, you could hang off, say, a terabyte hard drive, external hard drive.
You can hang anything externally. But what I'm saying is if you like the compactness of it all being the all-in-one, if what you like about it is there's nothing extra hanging off it, then you want to make sure you get as much stuff inside as you can.
I know, but I guess I'm really hooked right now, really sold on the Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Only from the standpoint of viruses and everything else.
They don't get viruses.
Yeah. And spyware and all that other stuff is a non-issue. And that's like I told you before, you know, the past couple of weeks, I think I'm just going to unhook my desktop, let that sit there for the times I use it, and get myself a nice 17-inch Chromebook.
And I've stuck all my music. Of course, you can always use Google Play to listen to your music. I do a lot of that. But I also have, in this one, in my other one at home, I have a bunch of SD cards, a bunch of 16 gig SD cards with every song I've ever owned on them. And if I go on a trip, I just take those along, and now I've got all the music I want. I've got everything I want to do. I don't even have to have a network connection if I don't want one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and with a 9-hour battery life.
That does you for a while.
It does you for a while. You know, it's more driving than I care to do in a day anymore.
Yeah, really. No.
It's more than most plane trips I take. So with that in mind, having, you know, 9 hours of battery life and all the music I want, I can put movies on it, I can do whatever I want to do. It's much more convenient. And again, if it gets lost or broken or stolen.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm out a few bucks, but other than that, I don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
At most, I have to change my password. I buy a new one. I change my password. I put that password in.
Sign into Google.
And 5 minutes later, everything I've ever had on the other machine is now on this machine.
Well, the same with phones. You know, I mean, that was another thing. I was telling a couple of folks because they were, you know, their phones messed up. I said, don't worry about it. If you're signed into Google and you're using the cloud to back up the, you know, everything, your text messages, all that stuff, your calendars, your photos, your docs, everything else, it's there.
Yep.
So you can get a new phone, you sign in, and like you say, 5-10 minutes later, all your contacts are there, all your texts, photos, whatever you want, it's back there. The only thing it might not do is maybe some apps. So, you know, particular apps that you had, you might have to redo those. But, oh, well.
Yeah.
That's all you're losing in life? That's...
Yep. Yeah, it's great. And I'm fearless with my Chromebook because I know it can't get viruses.
Yeah. That's...
Although for people listening, you'll still get the fake virus messages.
You'll still get that. Right.
And that's almost worse because it scares you more.
Right. And when I'm running a Chromebook, all I have to do is remember they're lying to me.
Yeah.
You know? You can still get pop-ups. And if those pop-ups say you've contracted a virus, click here. Just laugh. Close the window. Move on.
Now that we're getting closer to the holidays, the fake UPS and FedEx messages will start coming in.
Oh, yeah.
You need, you know, there's a problem with your package. Please get, you know, sign into your account and give us your tracking number. Well, if there's a problem with the package, they know the tracking number.
That's exactly right.
So you sign into your account on the fake site. They can now, the bad guys, can change where your package is delivered.
Right.
You ready?
And here's the coolest thing. If you're in the, I'm sure that Apple does the same thing, but if you're in the Google ecosystem, you get, if you sign up for a message from, say, FedEx, that says, just send me a verification. Mm-hmm. You know, when my package ships.
Yeah.
Google reads that and then adds into Google Now a card. You know how you can bring up those cards?
Mm-hmm.
A card, which is where your package is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Now, you guys are going to love this one.
Yeah.
A friend of mine that I work with comes in and says, Dave, I got to ask you a question. And no, you guys are both sitting.
Yeah.
Is $450 reasonable for removing some viruses? Because my husband was working on the computer. He got this blue screen and said he had to call this number. He did. It cost us $450. They put this other software on there, but the machine doesn't seem to be going any faster. I go, you're kidding, right?
Oh, my gosh.
She goes, no. He said he had to deal with it right away. I says... And I won't mention her name. I says, why didn't you call me?
Yep.
Nope. He wouldn't listen to it. He had to do it his way. I go, I could have done it for a lot less. And I could have walked you through some of it.
There was actually anything wrong.
And who knows what they put into your machine? And if you look closely at the invoice they send you, it's oftentimes it's a 6-month or 1 year service contract. That's why it costs so much. But we've tried to explain this to people, and they'll say, oh, it only cost me $300, and it worked out great. No, they stole $300 from you.
She goes,
what
else are they going to steal on the credit card you gave them? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, seriously? $450?
We're in the wrong business.
I guess that's what I said at the table, because we were in the break room. Yeah. I says, maybe I should go back to that. Just, how can folks do it without, you know, they can't. Well, you know. And they did say, wait a minute. Here's the other big part. She goes, well, they did say they were from Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, Microsoft has never, nor will they ever, call you to tell you there's a problem with your machine.
Right, right.
And they get a little sneaky by saying they're Microsoft techs or they're Apple techs.
Right.
So implying they're from the company.
All right, we're going to take a quick break while I set up a brand new company to steal your money. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Doug from Holly, New York on the line. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. Really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I am in the process of trying to. I have a Mac Mini, 2011, mid 2011.
Yeah.
And I want to swap out the hard drives.
Not easy task.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So it's not an easy task for someone not familiar with computer guts.
Okay. well, I've done some work on. Some other Mac Minis, so I feel comfortable doing that. My question is revolving around, you know, I'm going to put a solid state drive in, and I'm also replacing the original 500 gig hard drive with a 750 platter drive.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I was concerned about, or my question involves trying to create a Fusion drive on that.
Okay. So Fusion Drive is Apple's term for a mix of solid state hard and spinning hard drive. And technically it's a RAID 0. Okay. Actually probably a JBOD.
Probably.
So in Disk Utility, you can create a RAID and add the two drives, the solid state drive and the spinning drive, as what's called a JBOD, just a bunch of disks. And that will add the capacity together. If you do a normal RAID stripe, it's going to give you the smallest capacity that matches the two. Because normally with RAID, every drive has to be the same size. What it won't do that the Fusion drive does, because it doesn't have the Apple ROM in the drive, the Fusion drive watches the stuff you do and automatically puts the most commonly used files on the SSD portion.
Okay.
And so you don't have a way to control that when you're doing a third-party drive mix.
So what he's really saying is you can't actually create a Fusion drive.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Does that have anything to do with the term trim?
No. Trim is part of the SSD maintenance procedure to verify that all the data is readable. On all of the cells. It's the intelligence of Apple's Fusion drive built into the ROM of Apple's physical drives that let the operating system automatically put your common stuff on the fast drive. What I would recommend is don't make a RAID out of it. Keep it two separate drives. And then you can install your OS on the SSD portion. And you can then, when you save large files, you can put it on the mechanical portion, the spinning portion. So we want the speed of the SSD, but we want a lot of capacity. And so big SSDs are too expensive. So that's
right.
That's why it's nice to be able to do this as it's two volumes that you manage yourself in that way.
Okay. Well, the reason I was looking at, you know, trying to do the Fusion route was that My home folder, my user folder, is incredibly large. It's got a lot of video, and it would be larger than my SSD drive.
Right. You can put your home folder on a different computer. I'm sorry, I'm a different hard drive.
All right. Is so that very involved?
There's a couple of terminal commands to let the operating system know it's on the other drive. But it is relatively relatively easy if you know terminal commands. I'm going to post an article that Macworld did a couple of years ago
when the Fusion drives first came out on how to put this RAID together. If you want to do the Fusion drive, it doesn't, it's not as smart as the Apple branded Fusion drive. But it does work, and you get the speed of the SSD and the capacity of the HDD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still kind of stuck in the middle, and not really. I'm not really familiar with Terminal. I've never really used it. So, and I know I would have to do some of that to create the Fusion drive, but there seems to be more information. Yeah. Online about how to do that versus relocating your home folder on another volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is definitely a Terminal issue. With the making a JBOD RAID, you just do that in Disk Utility, and that will take the two drives and put them together as a single volume.
Okay. So do you have any would you have any information or links or anything that would it would steer me in how to move the home folder?
Yep, we'll post that also.
Okay, and that's going to be on Soundbites website?
Yep, soundbites.org.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
You too.
You too. Have fun.
I remember when the terabyte SSD drives were over $1,000.
Yeah.
I think now they're down to like 600. But that's still a lot, especially when a mechanical hard drive is under 100.
Right. They are, yes, and they are expensive, but they've come down in price.
Like anything else, it just takes time. I can remember back in the day, 300 meg paid over close to $450?
Well, it's economy of scale.
Yeah.
It's true of everything. The first one you make costs $5 million. Mm-hmm. The second one costs a nickel. So at some point, you recoup that $5 million, and then you can start dropping the price.
Yeah.
And there is a way to put your home folder on another volume without the terminal. It's under advanced user options.
Because you have to be an advanced user to really want to do it at all.
Yeah. So the terminal is kind of interesting. It lets you see the Unix underpinnings of the macOS. And it likens back to the old DOS days when you had a command line and you typed your commands. You have to memorize your commands.
Adlin.
Yeah. And who was it? It was Tony Placilla, who was big Unix guy when Unix wasn't big yet.
Mm-hmm.
Was so...
Oh, don't let him hear you say that.
It was so
Unix has been big since the 60s.
Yeah. And he remembers it.
Commercially viable, maybe, is the right answer. But when I showed him a Mac with a terminal on it, oh, this is Bash. All right, how about the C shell? Yeah, how about Bourne? Yeah, it's all
I
under there.
I remember that you brought
it
in
was
the
here.
New,
I saw
yes.
Yes.
You brought in the new Mac, and you were so thrilled to show us all the stuff it did. All he and I cared about was the command line. You were so angry.
Yeah, can you bring up a command line in Chrome?
Yes,
because that's Unix under there somewhere. Unix ish, yeah.
Ish. That's shell. I think there's a. Thing in here for that. I don't know. I'll find it in a minute.
For the geeky people, the Mac is based on MachBSD.
What did I just do? Oh.
You opened something different.
That's MACH, as M-A-C-H. In Mach 10 sort of thing. I randomly clicked because, why not? I found myself doing that the other day, and I realized the cat was trying to sleep on my arm.
Oh.
And it was way, and every time I thought, okay, normally your hand is just above the clicker, and
mm-hmm.
you're sitting like this.
No, there's extra weight.
Yeah. she's a good girl, but she was very mediocre.
Indeed.
Did I read that Windows 10, you can't get to the command prompt anymore?
No, it's untrue.
It's you still can. Under there?
Yeah,
it's harder to get to though.
Well, you have to know
the CMD to.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
run.
This still says terminal.
Okay.
It still has terminal. So, that's all falseness. That you can definitely get to it without any issue. The big thing is most people don't anymore.
Yeah. No, very few do.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
If you like to build your own computer, then you're probably used to getting to the command line and doing stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Matthew, my son, has been desperately wanting a gaming computer.
Well, sure.
So the computer I got for Christmas last year didn't have a good enough video card.
Right.
I'm such a horrible father.
You're terrible.
So he's been bugging, you know, for a year now to get a better computer. And so
he needs a better video card, doesn't he?
Except the computer I got him, it's not upgradable. It's integrated. It's discrete, but integrated on the motherboard. So your birthday's coming, Christmas is coming, and so he took all his birthday money and started buying components. And a couple weeks ago, we went to my store after hours, and we put all the computer together, and it was really cool, and he had fun, and we had fun doing it together. But then there were parts that he didn't have that he expected me to provide. And he forgot about Wi-Fi. So he doesn't have Ethernet in his game room. So right now, the new computer is connected to the main television in the living room, and a wire is string from the office. So he kind of likes it because he's using the big 55-inch TV for his monitor.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But now we got to be Ethernet wires strung across because save up your money to buy a Wi-Fi card.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is coming. It's on his Christmas list.
Yeah.
There you go.
He needs more RAM, too. I only had 4 gigs of RAM that we could put in the machine, so he wants more RAM.
Well, he should have more RAM.
Yeah.
There's no question of that. I don't care what your operating system is.
Yeah.
8 minimum.
Yeah.
8 is a minimum
these nowadays.
Days.
8 would be a minimum.
That's just what we had lying around. And
right.
When I found out he expected me to give him the RAM and the hard drive I was supposed to provide.
But of course, your dad.
Yeah.
This stuff is just sitting around in the store, Dad.
Yeah.
It can't be actually
Yes, with a big price tag on it.
Oh, that's... No biggie. You can replace it with another one when they come in.
When I was at RIT, I had, my daughter would come into my office and see 3 or 4 computers and just assume she could borrow one.
Yeah.
But Dad, can I borrow this laptop? No, honey. That belongs to RIT. It's only in my office because we don't have anywhere else to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my computer.
They're not loaners.
Yeah, right. They are loaners, but not for you.
For you, yeah. Well, no, you don't go there.
Because I get to work here, I can play with them.
Right.
I'm testing them.
Yeah, I'm repairing or I'm doing whatever I'm doing with them.
Yeah.
And often we'd have a faculty member would borrow it, and then instead of bringing it back to the room with the minions in it where it had been borrowed from, they would bring it to me.
Yeah.
And say, I'm returning this. Really? Because around the corner, about 11 and a half steps, is the room you took it from. And people there to actually log it back in. All right, I'll just take it. I'll get it, bring it over there myself. But so, I'd often, at the end of a night, when, my wife and daughter came out, if we were going out to dinner or something, I'd have 2 or 3 computers.
Yeah.
Sitting, cases and everything, mm-hmm. Bags and everything, just sitting on a chair waiting for me to just be done and go walk them over. So she always had an odd sort of idea of how many computers Dad had.
Yeah. Dozens.
Dozens. Yeah. Yeah. And I admit I have a couple of old ones that I put Linux on and I play with them and run them until the hard drive dies because, mm-hmm. Whatever. But that they're not the shiny new wonder terrific machines
the fastest thing in town.
Right.
Yeah. They get along, they get the job done, but it's sufficient for that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And now I don't even bother with those anymore. I'd rather have a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Because even if you've, I'm running Linux, so it's pretty secure.
Yeah.
But even so, if I'm going to be out in the world, particularly on an unsecured Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
I want a Chromebook.
Yep.
I don't want to play anybody else's game. That's how I want to do this. So,
and like you're saying, especially with the holidays coming up right now, there's going to be a few of them on sale.
If you're on Google Plus, there is a community called Chromebooks. And right now, everybody's posting $100 off, $50 off. I went here and found mm-hmm. this for, $200 instead
there's
of $300.
Deals out there to be had.
Yeah. It's really all you can see. If you need help with it, now's not the time to get it because everybody's posting deals all day long.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing to be careful about is do your price shopping.
Right.
Because we've heard from some stores that, not from stores, from people in the store,
right.
That prices sometimes go up on Black Friday.
Yeah. You got to do, because for you folks that are unaware, next Friday is Black Friday, and then there's Cyber Monday, which we'll be talking about. But, you know, before you start going out there and shopping and grabbing this computer or that computer, do your homework. There's a number of websites you can go to with the Black Friday deals.
Right.
You can go to search for Black Friday deals. It'll show you every store from A to Z and what they're going to be offering, and check out the specs totally. Print it off so you can compare. Say one's offering this laptop versus another one.
Right.
You know, print them off and compare, because not all of them are equal. You know, you're going to find some good deals and some bad ones.
Yep, that's exactly right. And don't, you know, take a look around. Don't hesitate to ask people. Don't hesitate to check out those community forums and stuff like that, because that's where really all the good information comes from. All right, listen, that music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but you're going to get to do it again, because we're only halfway through the show. I know, does this torture never end? Cheese and crackers. All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. You can join in the mayhem by giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And like I said, at 59 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And
remind folks, we won't be on next. Oh, yeah, we will be here next Saturday. I was thinking Thursday. I got next Thursday.
I will not be here next Thursday. That is true.
Steve will be. No.
Then you're taking the day off.
Well, it's Turkey Day, and then the week after that.
But you are Turkey, so why wouldn't you be here?
No, right. Did you hear the gobble thing? I was harassing Rob. I said, boy, you practiced hard for that, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I get it. It is Thanksgiving this week. It is our chance. It is the forgotten American holiday, because no sooner does Halloween end than we start seeing Christmas decorations.
Christmas came out in September.
Well, that's true. And I understand that retailers don't make money on Thanksgiving, but it is an American holiday. Maybe we're, you know, it's no longer patriotic to celebrate the day when the people who originally lived here welcomed the immigrants and fed them. But I suppose that's another story.
Well, those damn immigrants ruined the country.
They did, boy.
Well, I should tell our listeners that do listen to the Soundbites program. But the day before Thanksgiving, Rob is doing what he calls the gobble giveaway. And anytime you hear the gobble tone, which is Rob practiced long and hard to get that down, sounding like a turkey, you call in, and he's got some great CDs that he's going to be giving away that whole day before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So definitely want to stay tuned on that. Plus, just as another extra plug, he's also giving away tickets to Jiva for Christmas Carol.
Perfect.
So you guys got to listen.
So listen. Back in January, on Data Privacy Day, no less, IBM announced Identity Mixer, a new technology for protecting users' personal data during authentication. Yesterday, it announced that the technology is now available to developers on its Bluemix cloud platform. It's common for apps to require that users prove their identity and other credentials, but all too often that authentication process exposes a raft of unnecessary and potentially sensitive personal information along the way. To access an online streaming movie service app, for example, users might have to prove that they have a paid subscription and are over 18 years old. Traditionally, that would mean revealing their full date of birth along with assorted other personal details that aren't necessary for the proof, such as first and last name, address, etc. When a breach happens, there's all that much more potentially sensitive information exposed. Identity Mixer is designed to protect users' privacy by focusing just on the essentials of the proof. Thanks to a set of algorithms based on cryptography work done at IBM Research, the tool allows developers to build apps that can authenticate users' identities using what's known as zero-knowledge proof that collects no personal data. Specifically, Identity Mixer authenticates users by asking them to provide a public key. Each user has a single secret key, and it corresponds with multiple public keys or identities. Each transaction a user makes receives a different public key and receives no privacy breadcrumbs. So in the streaming service example, users would have to both would have both identity and subscription credentials stored in a personal credential wallet. To access a movie, they would use that electronic wallet to prove that they're entitled to watch the selected content without having to expose any other details. The result, according to IBM, is that users' privacy is better preserved and the search provider is spared the need to protect and secure all those extraneous data. So do you worry about how many companies know everything about you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We see that a lot. I teach students who are, of course, for the most part, younger every year, and they don't seem to care about privacy.
No,
it just doesn't bother them at all.
Well, what they post out there, it's like too many folks live their lives out there, especially on Facebook and everything else, and they don't, realize some of the stuff that they're posting later in life can bite them in the butt.
Although, since most of the current generation is posting that kind of stuff, it's going to be no big deal later in life because everyone did it. And there's public version.
Yeah,
what are you joking?
Right now, some
there's no evidence from when I was a kid.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Some employers, though, might look at it different.
Yeah.
Well, and that, but you, Steve is right. You know,
who was it? Sorry. One of the guys that was in Real World, naked and carousing and hot tubs and bikinis. Just got elected to state Congress.
People don't care anymore.
Yeah.
What somebody told me once very wisely at RIT, we were looking to change a policy. Somebody else was talking about how horribly, horribly difficult it would be because it would make the students crazy. And somebody else on the panel said, that's only a problem for 4 years. And it's true because the freshmen come in, by the time they're seniors, nobody remembers the old policy. And the same thing is true of the people that we're talking about now. They 25, 30 years from now, when some of these people want to get into Congress or wherever they want to go, nobody's going to care that they had naked pictures on Facebook. Nobody cares that they were caught drinking at a frat party. So what?
Yeah. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is especially in Congress, where the young upstarts and then the old timers that have been there for 50 years. It takes longer than 4 years for the old guys to move out.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But it's not 4 years, but it's 20 years.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
There we go. What's up, Joe?
Well, I'd really love to know how this IBM technology is supposed to, without any prior knowledge, is supposed to know you're 18 years old or older.
I knew that was going to be you. But you know what? There's two things. First, I believe that the way that it actually works, because I looked into it since you left since you posted a thing on my posting.
Google Plus.
Yeah, on Google Plus. I believe the way it works is that you do, in fact, authenticate yourself to them in the standard way. But even so, like if I go on Reddit and I want to go into one of the not safe for work forums, I'm told, I have to just click yes. Are you 18 or over? Yes. They don't know.
Oh yeah, a lot of sites take it on faith.
Right.
The whole idea of using a set of keys sounds an awful lot like Steve Gibson's Squirrel too.
Right.
Where you have a in essence you replace the whole login sequence with a single key of the user's choosing, and it's cryptographically secure, and it's very much like the Diffie-Hellman exchange, where each side has only prior knowledge of its keys, and they figure out, yes, they mutually authenticate each other.
And no one has to store the key to have that key be breached by, a data loss.
Right.
Indeed. Even scarier thing that I saw, I think it was yesterday, is that the IRS has a so far voluntary program where... I'm sorry?
I was just laughing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Who knows if it'll become mandatory.
Right.
Where nonprofit organizations are supposed to be able to submit donors' social security numbers to the IRS for the purpose of reporting donations. And let's think about this a second. With, even big corporations having data breaches, disseminating all sorts of personal information that they've collected, nonprofit organizations are going to no doubt be hit up for things like social security numbers. And let's also not keep in mind, keeping that sort of data private and secure is expensive. So now part of your donation is going to have to go towards a more stringent stewardship of the data.
You hope.
Yeah, you really hope and wish.
Right? I mean, look at how many of these banks are just not using rudimentary security procedures to keep your credit card information and all your other information secure. They're just not doing it.
Well, even Experian had the breach of the T-Mobile records. The credit reporting agency had a breach.
Yep. It's everybody thinks it's good enough. And back in the day when was it Phil Zimmerman was doing PGP, pretty good privacy. That was kind of a joke based on Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery in Lake Wobegon.
I love a Prairie Home Companion. Yeah.
And so there was a joke about that. But the secondary joke was that it was really a lot better than Pretty Good Privacy.
Indeed, it was.
But nowadays, Pretty Good Privacy is apparently pretty good enough.
Well, I just think there's a certain amount of karma involved in the Ashley Madison issue. Personally.
Yeah.
But thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah. Ashley Madison, as you remember, was the website where you could hook up with someone, specifically married people who were cheating on their spouses. And then somebody posted the list of names.
And some of the stuff that it turned out when the breach first got dug into, the website said you could remove your data from their records and you could ask it be removed, but it was still there.
Yep.
And there was all sorts of things that it was, your data is supposed to be encrypted, but it wasn't.
Right.
So things that they lied about, which in retrospect, why are we surprised they lied about it? Because their whole purpose was to lie about fidelity to your spouse.
Right. It's ridiculous. There are established procedures that will keep data like a social security number safe. Banks aren't using them, and I don't know why. It's not like they're really all that difficult.
It's inertia. On Security Now with Steve Gibson that Joe mentioned too, they've talked about signing up for a online web bank account. So you can check your balances and whatnot. A lot of banks have like an 8-character maximum for the password.
Right.
Because they're feeding into a 50-year-old COBOL database in the basement that just doesn't have that ability.
Back in the day, and I'm sure it's fixed now, the bank that I worked at had that issue. We put together this whole security business, this whole thing on how the auditing was going to be done and how everything. And then we banged up against the reality that 80% of our databases had maximum 6-character passwords. That's not good.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What can we do for you, Mark?
One question and maybe one piece of advice, if you don't mind.
Go.
Well, one was, as I called you a few weeks ago about Windows 10.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't downloading and about going into the command prompt and deleting all that information first and going into the command prompt. And I hadn't had time to do that yet. And I noticed today that the icon popped up and said it's ready to upgrade.
Yep.
Now, my question is to you is, possibly, is that a compatible download, or do you think I still have an issue?
Oh, do I think that's not coming from...
Well, no. I'm sure it came from them. But what the problem is I'm worried if it is a complete download.
Because probably.
Of the problem I had in the past saying, you know, it kept erroring, saying that the download wasn't
there. That was an actual issue with the download.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, at least, Microsoft has fixed that.
And a lot of people were mad that Windows 10 was downloading in the background anyway, even though they kept saying, I don't want to upgrade. It has already downloaded to your computer and is taking up the 5, 6, 7 gigs, whatever.
Very possibly. There's also a checker. At first I thought you were asking, and apparently Steve did too, he's looking at it. There's a checker that says whether or not you can run Windows.
To check for Windows 10, you can check your upgrade status. I was looking for the application checker, because the other thing to keep in mind is not just your Windows application upgrade. It's any third party or other, even you know, like an old version of Microsoft Office may not be compatible.
Right.
Yeah, I have one incompatible program according to the checker that's within the software.
Yeah,
icon.
So,
and I can get rid of that. It's not a big deal. It's not
go.
A piece of software I'm really worried about.
Right.
I was just concerned that the whole download was there with the problem I had in the past.
Yeah.
I was concerned to begin with that even if I went through and did that whole process of getting the download to run again.
Does it say ready to download or ready to install?
It says ready to install.
Then it's already downloaded. You're on your way.
Right.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. When you come back, can I give the piece of advice?
Yeah. Stay on the line. We'll be back to you in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Mark from Greece, you, 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supporter, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and Mark from Greece, New York is still on the line. Okay, Mark, go for it.
Let me make a correction. When I bring up the information from the icon, it says upgrade now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's... It knows you have a previous version of Windows you're upgrading from.
Right. So it's still, the theory is they have solved the download issue.
Okay.
But make sure you have a backup just in case. Even with a good download, it can still fail.
So I'm not worried about that either.
Good.
So second thing was when you earlier in the show, you were talking about the all-in-ones.
Yeah.
I've got several family members that have them and love them also. And they're a little get-around to keep things neat, especially when you want to put an external hard drive on and you don't want everything cluttered.
Right.
There's a lot of area in the back of those all-in-ones that don't have any vents or anything. And what they've done is they've put a piece of Velcro on the back of the all-in-one and then the other part on the back of the back of the hard drive. And it stuck it right to the back and routed the wire to the USB.
Yep. I've even seen little shelves you can get to attach to the foot of the computer.
Yep.
So you can apply. But that's one nice benefit of the all-in-one is it really cuts down on the cable clutter. You've got one power cord, especially if you've got wireless internet, wireless keyboard, wireless mouse. You don't have all those zillions of cords that the typical PC always had.
Yep. The big thing to pay attention to over time is make sure that it's not terribly warm in the back of that thing.
Right.
Well, I realize it doesn't...
We're going to use Velcro, which is a very inexpensive solution, to make sure it's not over a vented part.
Importantly, even if it's not vented, if that particular area gets overly warm and now you slap another device, which is essentially an insulator over that spot, you can increase the, and that has heat of its own.
Right.
You know, so you want to be very careful of, you know, my suggestion, if you're going to do that sort of thing, let it run for, I don't know, a few hours, a couple of days, whatever it is you want to do, and then feel around and see if there are any hot spots you can feel and avoid Velcroing something to those places.
Yeah, when they did it, they noticed where the power supply was in the, you know, where the power supply went in, mm-hmm. the brick went in, that area near that entryway was getting warm, and near where the hard drive was, so they avoided those areas, but those areas were also vented, so.
Right. Just yeah. It's just a matter of being a little extra careful.
Exactly.
And it clearly sounds like your folks were, but for everybody else who's listening, don't just randomly slap stuff in the back of the monitor.
Exactly.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for the information.
And thank you for the information. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the all-in-ones. They do have that. It's just one. Yeah, you're always gonna have a keyboard and mouse, but like Steve said, if they're wireless, they don't even have any wires, obviously. And then that monitor on a pedestal being also the computer and everything else, it's pretty easy to do. One of the problems I see with many of them, however, is that all the ports are in the back.
Yeah.
So instead of a nice, you know,
especially on Apples, because they hate they hate ports and screws things to stick out and ruin the line of the front of the computer.
Right. I really kind of liked the old Apple keyboard that had a couple of USB ports on the back of were on the back, but they were still closer to you than reach all the way over to the monitor, turn it around, plug something in, turn it back around again.
The wired keyboard still does that, but the wireless keyboards don't.
No, of course they wouldn't be able to. Right.
So we see a lot of people will get like a USB hub. And that will be in front of the computer, so you can stick your camera stuff. It's usually a camera that you want to plug in.
Right.
But with PhotoStream on the Mac and Google Photos on Android and Chrome, you don't need to plug your camera in anymore. You take a picture and it automatically shows up on your computer.
Right.
And with wireless printers, we're seeing more and more people just never plugging anything into the back.
Right. Except thumb drives.
Right.
For backing up or carrying.
And your USB hard drive, you plug in and leave it plugged in.
Right.
But carrying your thumb drive around, So there's.
But you can get network attached storage. So if that's on your network and you're wireless and you don't even need that.
Yeah. So the only thing you have plugged in is your power cord. And if Tesla had gotten his way, we wouldn't have that.
And we blame Edison.
Edison and Westinghouse.
Westinghouse.
How are you going to make money if you don't sell them copper wire?
That's exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chris from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's up?
Hey, guys. It's Chris Reich. How are you doing?
Chris, talk to us, buddy.
Well, here's the issue. I've had a couple of medical scares lately. Nothing to worry about. I'm okay. But it called to mind an issue of security that I thought I'd ask you guys about.
Yep.
I would like to leave for my progeny optimally a written list of how to access all my accounts, giving all my passwords, how to basically handle my affairs if I should pass away. The idea I came up with is, of course, putting it in a piece of paper, giving it to a lawyer, putting it in a lockbox, and then paying the lawyer and renting the lockbox. Right. I'm trying to get away from the paying part.
Include it as part of your will.
Right. Do you guys have an idea how I can safely and securely leave information for someone for whom I might not be able to tell about? Have you ever thought of that?
Right. Yes. In fact, we have.
I'm glad.
Here's the thing. There were a couple of places that digital death or afterline services, I guess is the term for those things.
If I die,
the digital
delete my
beyond.
Porn.
Right.
I'm sorry, you said after what services?
Afterlife.
Oh, life. Okay, got it. Go ahead.
Right. There are a number of places that actually do this. Now, I don't know how many charge or whatever, but there is, an entire list at a place called thedigitalbeyond.com. Steve will have a... not Beyonce, Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care because Google fixes my spelling.
Autocorrect
can get you in so much trouble.
Online services list. And there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'm only in the B's, 8, 9, 10. Apparently a lot of people have thought about this.
Okay.
And basically,
happens
is...
go to them and find out what they thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are 100 different ways to do this. Most of them involve a dead man switch. Essentially, every few days you have to respond to an email or you have to go to a website. And if you don't do that within a certain amount of time... the site assumes you're dead and then sends whatever you've saved off to whoever you've decided to send it to.
That could be a bummer, though, if you went away on vacation.
Right.
And, unless you can notify it that, hey, I'm going away from a week. You know.
Right. I'm sure they have ways to do that, too. The problem with all of this, because there was one point way, way back when I thought, what a business this would be. There are a couple of problems with this. One is the liability. Of course, for the company. And the other is, how secure are these bits of information? You know, who do you trust?
As always.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the questions.
Yeah.
Exactly. But there's apparently a metric bucket load of these places that are out there. I've scrolled down pages and pages.
Yeah. I was going to say, also another scenario.
Well, I guess what I'm looking for, if you'll excuse me, Dave, for a kind of a DIY solution.
Mm-hmm.
On which I'm not dependent on other people.
You put it in your will and put your will in a safe deposit box.
That's traditional. Or just give it to your lawyer and have him or her.
But in both cases, you're paying for something.
But you have to pay for that, and it depends, I suppose. You know, if all they're doing is taking an envelope from you and putting it somewhere until you die, you could probably. Attach, you know, here's an idea. If you've got a will to begin with, right?
Right.
You add an envelope with the information in it, and then you sign the back of the envelope, and if that is, you know, across the flaps, and that would make it fairly easy to tell if that's been opened without... Right. But
as a rule, I could trust a lawyer to hold that, but I couldn't trust a family member, right?
Correct. Right, exactly. But here's the other part of that problem. It also means that you will never be able to change, unless you go back to your lawyer every month with a new with a new envelope.
When you change your passwords.
You'll never be able to change your passwords, which we know is bad.
Right. Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, it just keeps rolling and rolling, doesn't it?
And every time a celebrity dies, we're looking through some of the stuff, and there was a big thing on Michael Jackson. What happens to all of his information? You know, especially it hits the news when a celebrity dies because it's, you know, celebrity news is so popular.
That's okay. They all have lawyers.
Yeah.
Right.
They have people. I'm retainer.
People call my people.
Well, I have a friend who sadly... knew when he was going to pass, and you know, about a week before, he set things up with his brother to say, here's everything you need to know. And his brother now maintains his Facebook account as a kind of a memorial.
Your digital legacy is sort of the word most companies are using. Yeah.
But there is at least one list, clearly, of just buckets and buckets full of these things.
Well, I'll look them all up, and maybe that will lead me to a DIY solution that I'm looking for.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. It would be an interesting
suggestions, guys.
It would be an interesting business to run, actually. Thank you, Chris. It would be an interesting business to run if indeed you could set it up in such a way that the people who are doing it can do it themselves. But then you still, the problem is never going to be the technology. The problem is the liability. Because if you make promises that data are secure and you make promises that data are always available, or just because they didn't update it, you know, doesn't mean that they're not going to try to sue you for that. I don't know. It's a big thing. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick, how's it going today?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Quick question. Got my Chromebook
am enjoying it immensely.
That's what I like to hear.
I thought so. I mean, I still got the big box, and we use the bills sure. and stuff like that on it, but this thing's nice for checking emails, which brings me to my question today.
Yeah.
I have more than one Google email account.
Yep.
And, you know, I go into the Chromebook, I log in, I click the Gmail button, it takes me right to the email account that's associated with the login on the box. Cannot find any way to tell it I want to check another email account.
Oh, yeah, you can, well, you can add a POP3. Hold on a second. Let me think for a second. You can add more than one account to your Gmail. In fact, I did that. Why don't I just take a look?
Yeah, in your Gmail settings, you can tell it to look for another address, and then it shows you that address in your mail, too.
Right.
But you should be able to just go to gmail.com and log in as a different user.
Well, when I click on the Gmail button, it automatically goes to what I've logged into the Chromebook as.
Right, open a web browser and go to gmail.com.
No, it's the same. It's the same exact thing.
Okay.
But here's the deal. If you go into settings,
click your face and change accounts.
Well, you can do that. But under settings, you have accounts and import.
Okay. Settings where, please?
Mail. If you click your face, hi, how are you? If you look in the upper right corner under your face, there's that little gear.
All right. I don't have a picture, so it's got my name, but that's okay. Settings.
Right. Right. Under there, you'll find a drop-down menu that says settings. And under that, in the blue labels in white, and that's what the colors are on my machine, you have accounts and import.
No. We get display density. Then we get configure inbox.
All right.
No, you're not in settings yet.
You're not in settings yet. If you click that open, you will see as you go down, you will find settings.
Second setting.
Okay. Under configure inbox above themes. I only have a couple of minutes left. Why don't you write this down?
So what am I looking at? Above themes?
Look, if you open that up, it says display density, comfortable, cozy.
Yeah, I'm in the settings. Okay. I'm just trying to find the themes
thing. No, stop. No.
It's not themes. It's settings.
We want you in settings. We don't want you in themes.
I'm in settings.
Okay. Under settings, you have general labels, inbox, accounts, and import.
Yes.
Under accounts and import.
Oh, all right. The blue one's at the very top. Okay.
There you go. Under accounts and import, you can check mail using POP3. You can do IMAP access under forwarding an IMAP, and you can also add additional accounts.
Oh, here we go. Send mail as
right, but you can also add other addresses.
Add another email address.
So you'll see the mail for that email address in the account you're currently logged in.
Well, you can switch accounts that way.
Right.
So let's go back up to the top where your picture would be.
Okay.
If you click on that, you can see add account.
And then that lets you switch to a different Gmail
account. Right, and once you have multiple Gmail accounts, you can switch back and forth among them just by going and seeing which ones are in the list and clicking on those.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it. It's still one at a time, but that's probably safer because you don't confuse them as much.
Okay.
All right. Got to go.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Still plenty of time to give us a call, 585. Do we have somebody on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Do we? Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, okay. Not as much time as we thought. It's Victor. No, it's Victor from Irondequoit. Welcome, Victor. What's up?
Hi, guys. Are you taking a smartphone question? Is that possible?
We can take the question. Doesn't mean we have the answer.
Okay. Well, I have fingers of stone. That's why I haven't had a smartphone. My tablet, I use a stylus because they just don't work.
Right.
Now, I heard this morning that some smartphones actually come with a stylus. I mean, you guys have any idea what the names of them are?
We were just talking about how many phones and tablets don't come with a stylus.
Well,
and
the Galaxy 5.
Well, how Apple in the beginning... Steve Jobs said no one wants a stylus because you have a finger.
Right, but I believe the Galaxy 5, is it?
Is it the 5 or the 6?
The 5 has a note.
The Galaxy Note.
Galaxy Note comes with the stylus.
Although, ironically, if you put the stylus back in, it's got a little stylus holder, which is nice. If you put it in back, if you put it in backwards, it destroys the stylus. You can't get it out again.
No, isn't that the GLG?
Was that the G?
LG? Was it? Look, here's the thing. Yeah. Any phone can be used with a stylus. You just have to buy the stylus.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but there's got to be some that actually have one that's attached, like Steve was just saying.
Yeah, there are half a dozen of them. The Samsung Galaxy Note 4.
Okay.
The Galaxy Note Edge.
Edge. Okay.
Also does.
I think the Note 5. I think the Galaxy Note, period. All the Galaxy Notes.
Yeah, all the Galaxy Notes.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to see what else is available.
And I think it was the Galaxy, the Note, where if you put the stylus in backwards, it breaks.
Yeah.
And you can't get it out again. And Samsung's answer was read the manual.
Right.
Because in the manual, it tells you how to put it in, right?
Right.
So, but now the new thing is on the plastic... That the shipping plastic that comes with the phone, there's a picture of how to put the stylus in, right?
The LG G3 stylus.
LG G3, okay.
Alcatel has the One Touch Hero 2. I think those are the only ones I know of.
One Touch Hero, H-E-R-O?
H-E-R-O, the One Touch Hero 2 from Alcatel.
And I just found an article about how smartphones with styluses are dying. And they're not including styluses in the future.
Well, there seems to be, you gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different kinds that have, and I should be able to figure out something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now you can go online and see what each of those does.
Yeah.
And I left off the LG G Stylo, but I don't know that that's available in the U.S. at this point.
The G3 stylus, maybe.
Yeah, there's the G3 stylus as well.
The other thing that they have, and we sell them in our store, is it's a stylus. Well, we sell a lot of different styluses, and one of the common ones has a pen at one end and a stylus at the other, so you just put it in your pocket. But some of them have a little plug that you put in the headphone jack so you don't lose them, because that's the big thing with the stylus is that most phones aren't designed to have a stylus stuck to it. Right. And so some people use Velcro. And some phones have a stylus with a holder built in, but we have some different brands of stylus that have little headphone jacks, and that plugs into your headphone so you don't lose the stylus.
Right. The 6 that we're talking about all hold the stylus internally to the phone.
That's what I was looking for. This is why I won't have to have the stylus in a different pocket or something like that.
Right. But let me caution you that it's not a bad idea to buy a few of those external styluses or stylus
pens.
Get
a backup.
So that if you do misplace it...
When you do lose it.
When you misplace it or lose it or whatever, while there's a new one coming in the mail, you've got something else you can use.
That's the feature that breaks on the Galaxy Note. There's a proximity sensor. So if you walk away and leave the stylus behind, it warns you. And that's the feature that breaks when you put the stylus in wrong.
Yeah.
Can you get extra styluses with these phones?
I have not looked into that, but I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
but
they always want to sell accessories.
They will sell you anything. Exactly.
Yeah, accessories are a great extra thing that they love to do. Screen protectors, you know, extra car charger, you name it, they'll add it on for you. No problem.
But you can use a regular like tablet stylus for the smartphones too.
Yeah, they're all pretty much exactly the same thing. All of the styluses basically just imitate the human finger.
Right, yeah. My fingers are dry or something. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, I tried. I can't use them.
It's a capacitance sensor, so it measures the electrical capacity, and so you have to have a little bit of finger oil to generate that capacity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are, now that we're getting into the colder months, you can buy gloves that have a
sensor in them.
Finger touch, yep. So you can still run your smartphone with your gloves on.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys. Now you gave me a bunch of different choices. Now I have to go out and see which one I like.
Well, get them all.
All right. Thank you very much.
I read an article once, and
it
really, really annoyed me about something I said. That you can't decide which computer to buy. Go to the store and buy five or six of them, and then return the ones you don't want.
Oh, no, no.
No, that is so, it's so unfair to the employees of the store, to the store itself.
Yeah, and to return those, because then you got to take them a markdown because they're used.
Yeah, they're now technically used. So many stores will charge you a restocking fee for open boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I know ours does because that's why it's now an open box. You have to sell it as used.
Yeah,
I that was one of the very few articles online I ever commented on.
that is totally ridiculous.
Yep,
and totally unfair. I mean,
says the three of us that work at stores.
Yeah, right,
exactly. Dude. I don't mind answering your questions, but letting you take one home and play with it for a few days before you return it? No.
Although, find a rental place. I hear people do that with cars.
Yes.
You looking to buy a new car?
But that's
rent one for the
deal.
Weekend.
They know that's the whole point of that.
So there are computer rental stores. I don't think there's one in Rochester.
No.
But there are online rental stores that will ship you a computer to rent. We get asked that a lot. While in our store, your computer's in for service. We don't have any to rent you, but there are rental stores you can go to. And they ship you a rental for the time you need it.
The problem is you're either going to give them a rental that is a beater in computer terms,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Or they're going to forget and you're going to have their personal data on your machine,
right.
which you've now wiped out when it came back in the store. And now they're angry at you because you wiped out their data.
And it's not as convenient as you might think to get a rental computer because it doesn't have your software on it. It doesn't have your files on it. So you really can't work on it anyway.
Right. So, it's not a big a thing. But you're right. If they're renting new ones and you can rent it for a couple of weeks and see how you like it, that might be a nice way to learn whether or not you're interested in a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Because there isn't any information on it. And et cetera, et cetera.
And we've talked about going into the store to play with the computer to see how the keyboard feels.
Yes, touch.
Get
hands on.
Yep.
And that's perfectly legitimate.
Yes.
You just can't spend 6 hours at it.
Or there aren't any public. Well, the Wi-Fi cafes now assume you're bringing your own computer in. They don't have public usable ones much anymore.
Right, not so much.
That was another place you could go to see how a computer worked.
100 years ago, when I was selling Apple's IIs out of the computer center, this little girl came in. She couldn't have been 10 years old. And she said, could I use one of your computers for a few minutes? And I thought, how cute is she? Sure, not a problem. She sits down at the computer. She opens it up. She starts programming in BASIC. Mm-hmm. Like an hour and a half later, she's done. She runs this little program that did, I forget what it did. And she had a disk and she put it on her own disk. And she just trundled out the door, and she was gone, and I thought, okay.
How often does that happen?
Okay. Eventually, my boss said, we can't just let people do that.
Yeah.
But for the one time, it was fine. But
mm-hmm.
it was pretty
funny.
Do
a daily practice of it.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
she was a little cute kid. I don't know who she is today. She's probably running Microsoft or something. I don't know.
Or started some other company that we don't know of that she
Right.
Started, sold, and now she's a millionaire or something.
Right. And doesn't she owe me some money for letting her use one of my Apple IIs? Yeah. Doggone it.
Create some game, because Apple
looks like Rent-A-Center does some computers.
Oh, nice.
And smartphones.
Wow.
And TV. Oh, 55-inch 4K Ultra TV. How much is that to rent?
I don't know that I'm all that hot for 4K yet. there's not a lot of content to begin with.
Catch 22. A lot of films now are being shot on higher resolution.
Right.
In fact, what was it? The Hobbit he did in 28K.
Right.
On stereo reds.
Right, right.
So he's set for the next 50 years to come out with a new version.
Actors hate them, by the way. Hate the Ultra HD stuff and the 4K stuff because it just points out every single flaw in your skin.
Yeah, blemishes. I've heard issues with costuming, too. One of the Spider-Man movies, we went to the IMAX, and you could see the seams in his costume.
Yep, yep.
So even IMAX is almost too much.
Yep, and so... and that's an issue with laptops too. You know, again, well, I just bought a laptop with a 4K screen on it. Really? What are you going to watch in 4K?
And you're not going to use the 4K resolution because the text would be too tiny.
Right. All right. That's it. We're done. I don't care. We're getting out of here. I want to wish each and every one of you a blessed and safe and quiet and family oriented Thanksgiving. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the... maybe it's Don Elhart. Coming in to play the best music you'll hear all week. And Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. I know Don Elhart, and you, sir, are no Don Elhart. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of Sound Bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 55 minutes after the hour. It's the longest running computer show in the known universe. Right here on the truly great... and solely member supported. And don't forget that part. You can always, always become a member of the truly great Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in 765. We'll see you in a while. And I clearly need to go home.
Here are the Jazz 90.1 Club Calendar highlights for Saturday, November 21st.